And in regards to colleges for foster youth that have made it to college with only 3% graduated from college, is a quite an accomplishment for them. But, you know, when their campuses are closed down, they can't go home. You know, there is not a home for them to go to.
Welcome back to COVID-19 Heroes. On any given day, there are nearly 440,000 children in foster care in the United States. And unfortunately, the COVID-19 pandemic has disproportionately affected this group of our population. This is why today I'm happy to be speaking with Danny Mendoza, the founder of Together We Rise. Together We Rise is a nonprofit that works with hundreds of foster agencies, social workers, CASA advocates, and other partners to bring programs to foster youth across the nation. And during this difficult time, they are doing more than ever to support them. Hi, Danny. Thank you for being on today's show of COVID-19 Heroes. Welcome.
Yeah, pleasure for having me. Thank you very much.
Danny, you are the founder and CEO of Together We Rise, a nonprofit organization that focuses on transforming the way children and teens experience the foster care system. When and why did you decide to create this important organization?
Yeah, so I decided to create Together We Rise when I was 19 years old. I was going to college at the time, and I found out that a family member of mine had fallen on hard times, and, you know, they had a 9-year-old living in a car, and, you know, that was my cousin, and I decided, you know, how could I step up and assist and be a big brother, per se, or, you know, just help my cousin go through that period. And through that process, I just learned that there was so much more that could be done, and there are so many limitations. I heard of this thing called foster care, and I figured maybe that was something that could help him. But then I just realized and learned all the stats about the system and how crappy it was. So after that moment, I couldn't just sit at home and do nothing. I had to participate in some way to play a role in helping those kids. This was my moment to do something. So I decided to start Together We Rise.
What are some of the factors that contribute to foster youth?
Foster care, I think the biggest misconception is that kids in foster care are bad kids, so they're taken away from their parents. It's the contrary. It's, you know, these kids didn't hit the parent lottery. They got parents that, you know, are going through substance abuse, that have been in and out of jail, that, you know, are going through domestic violence. And during that time period, they kind of are impacted, and they have a temporary home so that their parents could get better. You know, I truly believe that, you know, with the right support system for the parents, that they can know what, you know, healthy relationships are and, you know, good parenting is. And it's just a process that, unfortunately, the kids suffer, that they are the ones that have to sit on the sidelines with temporary assistance until, you know, their outcomes are better. But, you know, even when they transition into foster care, they often suffer abuse in that. They, you know, get neglected. They don't get treated like the biological children. And so they then again just continue that cycle of suffering. And it's all indirectly. I don't believe that most youth in foster care are in there from their actions. It's mostly due to their parents' actions.
In recent years, have you witnessed any new trends in the number or demographics of foster youth based on things like geographic regions, politics, current events, et cetera?
Yeah, I mean, there is a change, I guess, that has been going on throughout the last few years. I think one big one is the reduction of youth in group homes. So basically how it works now is if you're older a certain age, say I think after 9, 10 years old, if you're not working out with foster families, they put you in a group home. And before then, it was a lot of younger kids that they had group homes made for these younger youth. So states across the country have made big pushes on, you know, putting them in a temporary home versus a group home, which, you know, it has its pros and cons because of how the ability of the youth that are ready to be in another family setting versus the escape and support services that are provided through a group home. And then also, you know, the extension of foster care past 18. I think that's one that's been huge, and a lot of states have adapted. Unfortunately, not all of them. Federally, it's been passed till 21, but they only reimburse, I believe, up to half, and the states have to cover the other half. So not all states have come along to the good side, but you know, it's how do we make sure that people know that just because you turn 18 doesn't mean you're ready to be an adult. And I think with foster care, we've seen it time and time. You know, you've seen it at home with, you know, normal youth, that when you're 22, 23 years old, you often find yourselves living with your parents because of how expensive the economy is for young people and, you know, not having all the tools and jobs that are have them ready to be a self-sufficient adult. But so that's been a big one that's we've been trying to make a big push for. But I don't know. It's hard to say how long do these youth need to be have foster care support services for them to be successful.
And in what ways is foster youth currently affected by the COVID-19 pandemic? And what are some services that Together We Rise is offering to help out?
It's affected them on a huge level, from sibling visitation to the foster kids visiting their bio parents, from all those, you know, both of those visitations being canceled, to social workers not being able to make the visits that they need. And in regards to colleges for foster youth that have made it to college with only 3% graduated from college, it is a quite an accomplishment for them. But, you know, when their campuses are closed down, they can't go home. You know, there is not a home for them to go to. They don't, you know, have the same mental health services available to them if they go to a different place. And just dealing with the trauma of PTSD of having to move again. So, you know, being able to find a place for them to stay, or, you know, helping them with financial means for utilities, for food, if, you know, if they've lost their job in the pandemic due to that, because most of them do have entry-level jobs. Another way we're helping is providing diapers to foster families across Southern California to make sure if they have a child that they're not actively having to go to the supermarket and expose themselves. There's just, you know, from we've had laptops requests, cell phones, technology, just, you know, they don't have access to those things on a normal day if their foster family is in a financially good place. So for us to be able just to assist the family when needed has been super helpful for us. But we've just been blessed to utilize previous donations we've already had in stock to support these families while they're going through it.
Do you think that foster youth has been similarly affected by the pandemic across the U.S.?
It's not just like a local thing. It's nationwide. I mean, as you've seen, you know, I think it's like 16, 18 million people have filed for unemployment, you know, and a lot of those being restaurant jobs or entertainment jobs, where most foster youth are in this entry level job market. You know, so just on that alone, they've been affected. But the visitation side of things, that's been nationwide on how to social workers respond to this. Do they make regular visitations like nothing's happening? And the answer to that for the majority has been no. You know, when you get the orders to shut down, nobody knows how and when or what rules are going to apply, or, okay, you're an essential business. You know, your social workers can go, but what if they don't have the medical supplies that they need to be safe? So I think that's been kind of proven that, you know, these social workers have not got everything they needed. And I think California has done a great job right now with the governor announcing, you know, $42 million of additional funding to support social workers and foster families. And the crazy part is that is literally almost the same amount that the federal government has set aside for the COVID-19 on a nationwide level. So it's clear that there's so much more that they need, but you know, they're all affected in a similar way nationwide.
You mentioned the support that California Governor Newsom announced on Monday. Do you know of any other states that have made similar announcements?
We're trying to literally make a list of different states that are doing something, because it's really needed right now. I'm telling you, like, this social workers aren't classified as medical workers or first responders, but they are literally out in the trenches every single day to make their visits, because a social worker's job on a normal day is, you know, go visit one of your child in your caseloads and then, you know, assess if they're safe or not. And they aren't able to do that, but they're not on that list to get masks or cleaning supplies. And just running a regular day-to-day business, it's hard to get masks. It's hard to get those cleaning supplies. You know, I think it's calmed down a little bit more now, But at the beginning, you know, with that, the rush of people running to the stores and cleaning it out, it really put them in a really difficult position. But you know, I think the states are responding fairly good in regards to, you know, deciding which child welfare agency needs support. I just don't know that it's being done at every level because every state has handled it differently.
Looking into the future, what are you think some of the top priorities to help the foster care system?
To really help these youth, you kind of really have to understand their situation for the public to understand, because a lot of times people don't know what foster care is or, you know, what they're going through. So it's hard to say like, oh, what's that one thing that they need? But it's really just, how do you create awareness about the situation? Because people do not know what's going on. And if you can raise awareness and provide ways for people to help without becoming a foster parent, I think that's key. Right now, the main way to help children in foster care is be a foster parent. But the reality is, you know, there's other ways to do that. So I think if they focus specifically on an awareness campaign, I think that would, you know, be huge, not just for the children to have access to quality foster parents, but also for the public to try to step up and to fulfill those needs as foster parents.
What are some specific action steps that listeners can take to support foster care and Together We Rise?
I think one big and incredible organization is CASA. It's like court-appointed special advocates. So in a nutshell, is they provide a way for you to work one-on-one with a kid at a, you know, once or twice a month, basically to be a mentor for them, to go to court with them when they have to go for their situation, and kind of be that support system that they need. So I think that way is huge. You know, stepping up during the holidays and making sure that the local foster agency in your community, you know, if they have toy drives or they have different needs to that level. And that's just a way to be introduced to the system, you know. And I think if they just take those steps, especially with Together We Rise, we really focus on providing ways for you to do that. But that's really like the best way to go. Being a foster parent is a huge ask from anyone. Like, I mean, I'm not a foster parent. You know, I haven't made that commitment. And I don't think it's fair to give people that being the only option to do so. So I think if they just look at ways that, you know, they can help, and there's a lot of different ways that foster agencies offer that, you know, to not be scared to ask those questions versus, you know, oh, the only thing I can do is help by being a foster parent, because that is not true. And they can still make a meaningful impact if they try the different avenues.
So Together We Rise has been in existence for over a decade now. What's next for the organization?
Yeah, we've been around for 12 years, going strong, and it's been quite a journey to say, just to learn so much about all the needs in foster care and, you know, how we're able to kind of mold the organization to help. But I think what's next for us is really, how do we provide a support system for college youth that are going through the system, as well as, you know, making sure that every person has the opportunity to help a foster child. And I think that's kind of our big step, is how do we do that? And lastly, is how do we do it through technology? There's a lot of technology advances that can be made to preserve the memories of a child as they go through the system, to protect their documents, as well as just, you know, helping their adoptions faster so that they don't have to wait for paperwork or have to go through counties to pull different documents. So we're trying to really step in that way in the digital aspect, but really just continuing to be a voice for these children and a voice to let people know that you don't have to be a foster parent to help a foster child.
Well, Danny, thank you so much for being a guest on today's show and telling us about all the incredible work that you and your colleagues are doing to support foster youth.
You know, if anybody has any questions, they can definitely check out our website at togetherwerise.org, and we'd be happy to answer any questions.
I'd like to close off this episode by thanking everyone involved in supporting foster youth, from social workers to advocates and foster parents. If there's one thing we know, it's that our youth is our future and that physical and emotional safety is key to thriving and living a happy, prosperous life. To support Together We Rise and increase their reach and programs, visit togetherwerise.org. Danny also mentioned that being educated about foster youth is the first step in supporting them. Therefore, feel free to share this episode with a friend or visit one of the links in the episode description to learn more about the foster care system. Thank you, and until next time, I'm your host, Lorraine Schneider.